Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're the show that, well, digs into your sources to pull out the key insights so you can really get informed without drowning in information. Today, we're zeroing in on a muscle that, honestly, it's huge, but maybe a bit underappreciated in just how complex it is. We're talking about the trapezius, and it's not just a back muscle, right? It's actually one of the biggest, most functionally diverse muscles we have. Stretches over this incredible area from the back of your head way down to your mid-back. So our mission today, we're going to unpack the anatomy, the surprising functions of this muscle using some really detailed anatomical resources. The idea is to give you a clear, kind of intuitive grasp of it.
Exactly. Intuition is really the word here. We're not aiming for just, you know, rote memorization of anatomical terms. That's not the goal. We want to help you build a real understanding, a feel for how your body actually moves. It's about offering a fresh perspective on this area that impacts, well, everything from your posture to how you move when you exercise. Think of it like getting functionally literate about your own body.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Like you said, most people, when they think trapezius, they probably picture a back muscle, pure and simple. But our sources, they make this really interesting point. It's maybe better classified as an upper limb muscle because it has such a massive influence on the shoulder girdle. And the size, I mean, it's genuinely remarkable. It goes from the back of your head, the occipital bone, specifically down to your mid, right to the 12th thoracic vertebra, T12. It's basically skull base to the bottom of your ribs. Huge. And because it's so big and the fibers run in different directions, it makes sense anatomically to break it down, usually into three parts. The descending part, that's the top bit, then the horizontal or middle part, and finally the ascending part, the lower bit. Each section, you know, with its fibers pointing a certain way, does slightly different primary things.
Mm-hmm. And breaking it down like that, it's not just for tidiness. It's actually a really powerful way to learn. Understanding mm-hmm. what a muscle does becomes so much easier, more intuitive, when you picture those different fiber groups actually contracting. Imagine those specific fibers getting shorter, pulling point A towards point B. What movement happens then? It's like mental gymnastics, this muscle visualization. And it's surprisingly good for figuring out function, much better than just memorizing lists.
Okay, let's trace it. Where does this massive muscle actually start? Its origins, its anchors. We'll begin right at the top, back of your head. If you put your hand on the back of your skull, slide down a bit, you can feel this sort of ridge line. That's the superior neutral line. And the trapezius attaches to roughly the inner third of that line, the medial one third. And to help find it, feel for that bump. You know the one right in the center back of your head. That's the external occipital protuberance. Some call it the inion. It's a pretty obvious bony bit. And once you find that, you know where that neutral line is.
Exactly. And that protuberance, that bump, it's really key because it's also where the neutral ligament attaches, the ligamentum nuchae. And this isn't just any old ligament. It's incredibly strong, really dense connective tissue. It runs down the back of the neck, connecting to the spinous processes of your neck vertebrae. You know the analogy, like grabbing a cat by the scruff. You're basically grabbing onto their neutral ligament. It's a really robust support structure back there.
Right. And that brings up a really interesting point, doesn't it? Especially for us, walking upright. I mean, in animals like horses, four-legged animals, this ligament is critical, right? Helps hold up their heavy heads. Saves muscle energy. But humans, our heads aren't quite so well projected forward. So what's the big deal for us? Why do we still have such a strong neutral ligament? And how does it work with the trapezius?
That's a really good question. Our heads might not be as heavy or hang forward like a horse's, but that neutral ligament is still super important for us. And its relationship with the trapezius is key. Think of it as providing passive support. It sort of pre-tensions those upper trapezius fibers. This means the descending part of the trap can start movements, like pulling your head back more efficiently, more stably. It doesn't have to take the full strain from a slack start. It's also crucial for stabilizing your head when you walk, when you run. It helps dampen that side-to-side jab, that energy transfer through the body, helps you keep your gaze steady, maintain posture without constant muscle firing. So yeah, it's a stable but flexible anchor point.
Okay, interesting. So moving down from the head and that ligament, the trapezius keeps going. Its origin points continue down the vertebral column. It attaches to the spinous processes. Those are the bony points you can feel down the middle of your back of the cervical vertebrae, C1 to C6. But like you said, via the neutral ligament, indirectly. Then from C7, the really prominent vertebra at the base of your neck, all the way down to T12, it attaches directly to those spinous processes.
Right. And just a quick note on terms, while we're being precise, the spinous process is just one of those bony bumps on a single vertebra. People often say the spine, meaning the whole thing, but anatomically, it's better to say vertebral column, because technically there are other spines in the body, like the spine of the scapula, which we'll get to. It seems small, this distinction, but being precise with language really can help clarify those anatomical relationships in your mind.
Good point. Okay, so we know where it starts, this huge area from head to mid-back. Now let's follow those fibers outwards. Where do they end up? Where do they insert? This creates a really distinctive shape, actually. The muscle fibers sweep across your upper back and shoulder, and they attach onto that prominent bony ridge on your shoulder blade. That's the spine of the scapula. And you can feel this easily. Just trace that ridge on your own shoulder blade outwards, towards the very tip of your shoulder. You'll get to the acromion. A good trick to find it is put your arm in that chicken wing pose. You'll feel a little dip, maybe, where the acromion meets your collarbone, the clavicle. That's the acromioclavicular joint, the AC joint. And yep, the trapezius finishes this attachment right there, too, on the outer part, the lateral one-third of the clavicle.
Yeah, it really creates this remarkable shape when you picture all those insertion points together, almost like a horseshoe, wouldn't you say? Starting on the outer collarbone, wrapping around the acromion, and then running along the spine of the scapula. It really highlights how broad its connection is to the shoulder complex. And here's something fascinating, a really cool anatomical connection. The deltoid muscle, you know, the big shoulder cap muscle, it actually originates from the exact same line where the trapezius inserts, the clavicle, acromion, and spine of the scapula. It's just a beautiful example of how intricately layered our muscles are, sharing these bony landmarks, different muscles using the same structures for opposite actions almost.
Wow, that is cool. Okay, so we've mapped out the origins, we've mapped out the insertions. Now the big question, what does this massive, complex muscle actually do? Let's use that visualization strategy you mentioned. Let's try to intuit the functions, breaking it down by those three parts.
Absolutely. This is where knowing the fiber direction really pays off. Just picture those fiber shortening, origin pulling towards insertion, or vice versa, depending on what's fixed. The movement often just clicks.
Right. Let's start at the top, the descending part. Those fibers run sort of downwards and outwards from the head and neck towards the shoulder girdle. So one key action is pulling the head and neck back extension of the head and neck. We do this all the time, even if hyperextending looks uncomfortable. They're also really strong elevators of the scapula. That's your classic shoulder shrug. I don't know. Usually that's both sides working together bilaterally. But if just one side contracts, it can also help tilt your head towards that shoulder lateral flexion of the neck. Which action happens depends a bit on whether your head or your shoulder is the stable point.
Mm-hmm. Then you've got the middle part, the horizontal fibers. They run more or less straight across from the spine to the acromion and the spine of the scapula. When these contract, they do a couple of key things. One is upward rotation of the scapula. This sounds complicated, but think about raising your arm way up, like in a jumping jack. Your shoulder blade has to rotate, kind of twist on your rib cage to allow that full range. That's upward rotation, and the middle trap is crucial for that. It also does retraction of the scapula. That means pulling your shoulder blades together towards the spine, like when you do a good stretch in the morning, really open up the chest. And they chip in a bit with elevation too, helping the upper fibers.
Okay, makes sense. And finally, the ascending part, the lower fibers. They run upwards and outwards from the mid-back spine towards the spine of the scapula. So logically, their main job is pulling the scapula down, depression of the scapula, actively pulling the shoulder blade downwards. And they also work with those middle fibers, helping to pull the shoulder blades back, assisting in retraction.
Exactly. And this whole setup, this division of labor, is why the trapezius is such a, well, powerhouse muscle. It's incredibly versatile. It's involved in so many different movements across the head, neck, and shoulder girdle. Subtle tilts, big shrugs, stabilizing actions. It really is a multitasker.
Yeah, it really is. Now, the source material we looked at, it didn't just cover the anatomy. It also had some really brilliant points about how to learn this stuff effectively. Strategies that go way beyond just memorizing facts.
Yeah.
It really emphasized using high-quality visuals, like good anatomical atlases, where you can really zoom in and inspect things closely.
Oh, absolutely. That's crucial. And one of the best ways, honestly, to learn anatomy is just to spend time looking at it, seriously observing, zooming in on details, looking at structures from different angles in real depth. You'd be amazed how much you can pick up, how many patterns you start to see just by careful observation. It sort of sinks in passively.
And I like the tip about how anatomical names often give you clues, like external occipital protuberance. That word external immediately makes you think, is there an internal one?
Yeah. Okay.
And often there is. It guides you to look for related structures, helps build a more complete mental map of the area.
Precisely. And beyond just looking, interactive tools are fantastic. The sources mention things like custom quizzes, tools where you can specifically test yourself on certain muscles or bones, visually identify parts, maybe even have to type out the tricky spellings, you know, like T-R-A-P-E-Z-I-U-S, that kind of active recall. Having to actually produce the information really cements it. It builds that intuition we keep talking about, makes the knowledge really yours.
Totally agree. So let's wrap this up. We've traced the trapezius from its huge origin points back of the head, neutral ligament, all down the vertebral column to T12. We followed it to its really distinctive horseshoe-shaped insertion on the clavicle, the acromion, and the spine of the scapula. And we've seen how its different parts work together, and sometimes independently, to move your head, neck, and shoulders in all sorts of ways. Elevation, depression, retraction, rotation. It's a true marvel of muscular engineering.
It really is. And thinking bigger picture, if you understand even just one muscle, like the trapezius and this kind of detail, it really opens up a new level of appreciation for how interconnected and frankly how elegant the human body is. You start seeing it less as just a collection of parts and more like a beautifully coordinated system, a symphony of actions, you could say.
Absolutely. So here's something to think about as you go about your day. Now that you know the trapezius a bit better, pay attention to your posture. Maybe notice those moments when you feel tension in your neck or shoulders. Which part of this massive trapezius muscle do you think is feeling the strain? Is it the upper fibers, middle, lower? And why might that be? Could you make small adjustments, maybe consciously relax or engage a certain part to bring a little more balance to this mighty muscle? This kind of awareness, connecting the knowledge to your own experience, can genuinely change how you perceive and manage your own body's movements.